Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, tonight's Maundy Thursday. Once again, it's not Maundy Thursday, right? Maundy means commandment, the great commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And Thursday, it's the Last Supper. We're remembering our Lord's giving of his body and blood and the bread and the wine. As I look at those themes, especially loving one another and in the Lord's Supper, it really goes along great with what we've been talking about, the Sermon on the Mount. And so let's rise up those slopes once again, climb those mountain passes up into those higher regions, up above the din of civilization, up in the lofty, higher mountain air. Maybe since it's evening tonight, we could picture it toward evening as we're up there with the Lord and there's a little fire beside us. And the disciples gathered around it, and there Jesus leans upon a rock and teaches us as king of the coming kingdom of God. And we pick that up in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 9 tonight. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, in verse 9 he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Let's talk about that and see what Jesus is talking about here. What does he mean, blessed are the peacemakers? Well, as we've said on other weeks, this whole sermon is really against the world. I mean, in terms of the way the world works. This is not how the world operates. The world says it loves peace. The world says it loves peacemakers. We even have the Nobel Peace Prize, right? Stuff like that. But guess what? That's not how the world practices it, though. The world is not really into the practice of peace. If you look at the world, just think about a movie that you go to, okay? When was the last time you went to watch a movie about a peacemaker, right? I mean, you go and you watch a movie. You don't go and watch a movie, or people don't, about a guy who goes and stops the war before it even begins, right? Or a guy who makes everybody lay down their weapons and there's no fight. The world loves action. We want a good fight, right? You don't go to the movie to watch a peacemaker unless, of course, you got some vigilante cop saying, "Meet my peacemaker. It is my gun. That's my name. Bang, that's my peacemaker." The world's not into peace, right? When God looks down on it, as much as the world talks about peace, it's really into war between nations, right? Between husbands and wives. Between even friends eventually, or siblings, or your neighbor next to you, or one group against another. God looks down and he sees war, 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 right? And the world just exalts this kind of stuff, though they would cry against it, they live it. But I want you to hear again the king speaking upon that rock, sitting down on that mountainside, speaking of his kingdom. And he says to you and me tonight, "No, that's not how it works in my kingdom. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Are you a peacemaker? Well, let's think about what does that mean to be a peacemaker. The word there in the Greek, if I can say it, erenopoias, a maker of peace, a doer of peace, someone who acts to bring harmony between two warring parties, someone who reconciles, someone who stops the violence, ends the conflict. A repairer of the breach. So I got here, for example, here's an example of war. Husband and wife, right? They always say the three rings of a marriage is the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffering, right? So there's a breach, right? There's a breach amongst husband and wives and friends and neighbors, even nations. The peacemaker is the one who works to bring them back together. And not just bring them back together, but bring them back together based on the truth of God's word. Not a sham truce, based not on God's word, but on a truce, a reconciliation based on the truth of God. I knew something was not going right together about those. See, this is a sham, okay? This is not real peace. It's not based on the truth. This is based on the truth, okay? And confirmed by the rain. Okay, so Jesus says, in God's sight, when you bring peace, that is good. That is what God's kingdom is about. He's a God of peace. And when you bring peace, you shall be called a son of God. And so, why is it necessary for Jesus to bring this message? If you think about it, the world, as I said, is a world of war, right? I found this illustration. In 3,521 years of recorded human history, how much do you think has been without war, generally? 286 years, which means 92% is war. And probably that's even low. You got war between husbands and wives, war between siblings, war between families, wars between churches, in churches. You know, I've been to voters' meetings in other churches, not our church, thanks be to God. God preserve us. We have great harmony, but you go to other church voters' meetings, it's like, you know, why did you bring a knife to a gunfight, right? There can be that. And even while I was preparing the sermon, it's kind of funny, a couple days ago at home, and I just got up for a break for a few minutes and decided to play with my dogs. We got a yellow lab and a Pomeranian, and I took a little bone and I tossed it over there, and the yellow lab went for it, and then the Pomeranian, and they got in this huge fight, and I'm like, hey. I said, Beth, can you believe this? I'm supposed to be talking about a peacemaker. I'm making war here. When the Lord looks down from heaven, what do you think he sees on the earth? Maybe, as he said in the days of Noah, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually, and it grieved him to his heart, right? Don't you think? When God looks down on the earth, conflict and war. And God hates this division. He says in the Bible, in Malachi 2, I hate divorce, says the Lord God, and the covering of one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So take heed to yourselves and don't be faithless. He hates division in marriages. You know, sometimes it is necessary. Sometimes it is, unfortunately. But he hates the division and the hurt. He hates the division amongst neighbors. In Jeremiah 9, he says, their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceitfully. With his mouth, each speaks peaceably to his neighbor, but in his heart he plans an ambush for him. Shall I not avenge myself on them, says the Lord, for this? There's battles between friends. Put no trust in any brother, God says in Jeremiah 9, for every brother is a supplanter, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. But how God loves peace, amen? It says there in Psalm 133, it says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. And then we got this Old Testament description, which doesn't quite match for us, but it says, it's like oil poured on the head of Aaron running down over his beard. And we're like, what? But it's actually beautiful. It's peaceful. It's like the dew on the mountains, it says there on Mount Zion. There the Lord has commanded a blessing, life forevermore. Peace and unity. God loves that. You know why? That's his kingdom. That's heaven. Jesus here on the mountain is talking about the kingdom of heaven and bringing it on earth in the hearts of his people. The world is not God's kingdom. It is war. But God's kingdom has come into the earth. And it says there in Psalm 49, what man is there who desires life and covets many days? Do you do that? Do you covet many days? Then keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. Think about that. Say that. Seek peace. The peacemakers, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, the peacemakers. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. God's kingdom is a kingdom of peace. What's Jesus' name? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When you enter into his kingdom on the day when you die, it's peace up there, okay? On earth, when you have him as your kingdom, you have the peace that passes understanding in your heart, even while you're living in a war-torn, conflicted world. It's peace that God loves. So how do we bring peace to people? Well, you could look at, remember that story with Moses? There, I'll turn it up. When Stephen is recalling that in Acts chapter 7, he says, on the following day, Moses appeared to them, and as his two brothers were quarreling, two Hebrews, he would have reconciled them, saying, men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong each other? And then they didn't listen to him, right? That happens a lot, right? You try to bring peace, and the people don't listen to you. What's one way you can do it? A word, right? Bring in that word, reconcile with each other, reason with each other. Moses was a peacemaker. Paul was a peacemaker. In 1 Corinthians 6, the church was suing each other. They were going to the law courts with grievances. You ever heard of that before? I've heard that in our denomination a couple years ago, right? But Paul says, do you dare, brother, go to law against brother, and that before the unbelievers? Come on, isn't there somebody in your church who is wise enough to decide between members of the brotherhood? But brother goes to law against brother and before unbelievers? And then he said, finally, brethren, farewell. Mend your ways, heed my appeal, agree with one another, live with one another, live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. So was Paul a peacemaker? With his words, with his preaching. Can you do that with others? You can even use your body to get in the middle of things. Actually, I remember when I was in college one night, I was at the student union, I guess you call it, and there were these two hefty, bulky, strong football players. I mean, like Neanderthal strong, okay? And they got in this heated, yelling argument, furious, and they were about ready to pummel each other's faces in when this little scrawny guy comes over and he gets into the middle of them and jumps up and down right in between the two chests saying, hey guys, take it easy, calm down. It's all right. Who is the strongest man of all of them? These two guys disappeared because they weren't willing to hit the scrawny guy. The scrawny guy was the strongest of all three because he was a peacemaker. You can use your body to get into it. And to borrow Paul's phrase, I'll show you a still more excellent way. How are we going to bring these two people together? Husband and wife. Sin, what breaks people apart? What is it? I said it. Sin, right? Some sort of harm. That's why people get this divided, because of a harm. What's the only thing that brings two people together if there's been a sin? Good try. Wood glue won't do it. Good try. Forgiveness, right? Think of it. You could offer flowers. You could bake a cake. You could do all kinds of things. It's not going to heal the wound completely. The thing, the only thing that brings when there's been hurt is, I forgive you. I forgive you. Thank you. And they kiss and come together. Peter asked Jesus, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How many times? 70 times 7. It's not 490. It's always forgive. Reconciling, peace. When Jesus came, what did he do with that woman who wept at his feet, who was a sinner? Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. To the paralytic man who came down through the roof, man, your sins are forgiven you. To the adulterous woman, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Right? There is forgiveness is why Jesus came. He is the ultimate peacemaker. Amen? And not just between human beings, forgive each other. Jesus came to bring peace between God and man because we were at war. War, I tell you. Over our sin, God was furious and we were under his wrath. And if we were left there, we would be ending in hell and darkness and cast out. But Jesus came to bring peace. God sent him to do it, to die for us. It said there, when Jesus died on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. What is Jesus doing? Peace. He's there to mediate between the two, God and man. The scrawny man in the middle, although I don't want to call him scrawny, because he was the great king, but he came in weakness. He died in weakness to reconcile man and God, to take away our sins. For the Bible says, in Colossians 1, for in Jesus, in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Right? So without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins, it says in the Bible. Jesus shed his blood on this cross in our place, to die in our place, so that we might be reconciled to God. You know this, but you need to hear it again, as do I. By the blood of his cross, you have peace with God. He died for us. As Peter says, you've been redeemed, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So are you guys reconciled to God tonight? Has Jesus been a peacemaker and brought peace in your relationship? Is the warfare over? Are you still afraid of God? Have you believed on Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are your sins forgiven? If you've come to Christ and believed on Him, the message of the gospel, the message of reconciliation that's been entrusted to me to declare to you is this: there is peace and the warfare is over. When you believe on Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven you. For Paul says, now in Christ, you who once were far off, you Gentiles that were far off, you've been brought near in the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who has made us both one. Both Jews and Gentiles, we're now one. He's broken down the dividing wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles, between God and man. The hostility's over. By abolishing in His flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, that is, at the cross, that He might create in Himself one new man in the place of the two, no longer Jews and Gentiles, but just Christians, so making peace, and He might reconcile us both to God, Jews and Gentiles, in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end. No more hostility. God's not against you. In Christ, He is for you. And He came and preached peace to you who are far off, that's the Gentiles, and peace to those who are near, to the Jews. Peace, peace, peace. Can't you hear it? All over that passage? So the key is what? Forgiveness. So I'm going to tell you this tonight. If you want to be a peacemaker and be called the Son of God, which you are, then if you have a conflict with someone, forgive that person. Can you do that? Is there someone in your heart that you need to forgive tonight? God calling, bring it up into your mind. If you would be a peacemaker, forgive that person. And if it's hard, keep forgiving. Okay? If you forgive and then you get angry, and you forgive and you get angry again, it's like Corrie ten Boom when she said, I have trouble forgiving. Well, a Lutheran pastor told her, it's sort of like pulling that big gong on the bell in the top of the steeple. Just let go of the rope. It might continue to gong for a while. Bong, bong, angry, bong. But eventually, if you keep your hands off the rope, keep forgiving, it's going to quiet down for you. If you would be a peacemaker, forgive. If you would be a peacemaker between two warring parties that you are not a part of, teach them, speak to them about forgiving. And if you would be a peacemaker between God and man, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that is the message of peace, the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. As Paul says, we're ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. You're His messengers. And therefore, we beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So, how does all this go along with tonight? Right? Monday, Thursday, Last Supper. Well, what do we do in the supper? What did Jesus say? Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. So let's see if I can do this one. Here's God. Here's man. Separated, right? Forgiveness of sins through His cross. And this is a meal of peace, of bringing you together. This is a peacemaking meal. You have peace, it's confirming you in the covenant of the forgiveness of your sins. It's a foretaste of the peace that you're going to have to come. For Jesus says, I'm not going to drink again of this vine until I drink it new with you in my kingdom, in my Father's kingdom. There's coming a day when this is just a foretaste of a meal that's coming in heaven in a kingdom of peace that's everlasting. That's everlasting. Think about that tonight when you take the Lord's Supper. Just a foretaste of the peace to come. And it's about love, because Jesus knelt down and served His disciples and washed their feet. And the great commandment, which is to love one another, Paul says, love binds all things together in perfect harmony. What is that but peace, right? When you have peace, when you have love between a couple, man, you are a peacemaker. Between friends, you are a peacemaker. So let's forbear one another, says Paul. If one has a complaint against the other person, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And so God is actually working His kingdom. When you go up there on the mountain with Him and hear this Sermon on the Mount, He's talking about His kingdom, which is of another world. It's coming, and you're going to see it on the manifest day, but it's already in your hearts. The kingdom of God is in the midst of you. And when you practice love and grace and reconciliation and forgiveness and pursue that peace, not only is God saying, wow, you are my son because you're doing what I love, but you're also bringing the kingdom of God in this world until that time when Jesus comes on the last day, and then it's peace forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.